Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8. Text 53. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Japaschapa Paramoguya Shruyatam Me Nipatamaja Yam Saptaratram Prapatam Pumam Pashati Kecharam. O son of the king, now I shall speak unto you the mantra which is to be chanted with the process of meditation. One who carefully chants this mantra for 7 nights can see the perfect human beings flying in the sky. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Jaksur Malatam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So greetings from Shamashram in Kali, Colombia. It's quite hectic here because here it's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock we have our Kali Fest. I mean, we have a huge tent where they build a wooden floor and maybe 7-8 other little things for concessions. And we have 2 beautiful yoga halls. We just built a new one. And we just renovated our kitchen, and we have really incredible things there. So it's a little bit hectic, but it's very, very exciting. The preaching here is just phenomenal. I gave a seminar last week for the yoga teacher training. We have about 50 people. For those people who know the business or service of yoga teacher training, that's substantial. It's not just the amount of people, but the quality of people that come. And I spoke on the Yoga Sutras for 2 days, 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the evening. And today, under a beautiful tree, at 11 and 4, I'll sit for questions and answers. We did that last time. And at 2:15, I'll give a seminar in our temple. And it's just an incredible opportunity. I'm really happy here how things are developing. Let's see if I don't screw it up. I do. Within this universe, there is a planet called Siddhalok. The inhabitants of Siddhalok are by nature perfect in yogic achievements, which are of 8 varieties. One can become smaller than the smallest, lighter than the lightest, or bigger than the biggest. One can immediately get whatever he likes. One can even create a planet, etc. These are some of the yogic perfections. By virtue of Lagama Siddhi, or the purificatory process to become lighter than the lightest, The inhabitants of Sitaloka can fly in the sky without airplanes or airships. It is hinted herein by Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj that by meditating upon the transcendental form of the Lord, at the same time chanting the mantra, one becomes so perfect within 7 days that he can see the human beings who fly in the sky. Narada Muni uses the word japa, which indicates that the mantra may be chanted, that the mantra that to be chanted is very confidential. One may ask, if it is confidential, why it is mentioned in the writings of the Srimad Bhagavatam? It is confidential in this sense. One may receive a published mantra anywhere, but unless it is accepted through the chain of disciplic succession, the mantra does not act. It is said by authoritative sources that any mantra chanted without having been received from the disciplic succession has no efficacy. Another point established in this verse is that meditation should be carried out with the chanting of a mantra. Chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the easiest process of meditation in this age. As soon as one chants the Hare Krishna mantra, he sees the forms of Krishna, Ram, and their energies, and that is the perfect stage of trance. One should not artificially try to see the form of the Lord while chanting Hare Krishna mantra. When chanting is performed offensively, the Lord would automatically reveal himself to the view of the chanter. Therefore, the chanter has to concentrate on hearing the vibration. And without extra endeavor on his part, the Lord will automatically appear. Om Jnana Timurandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Taksu Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adhigor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, again, I'm saying greetings from Cali, Colombia. Not a noise around because there's so much activity that's going on, but yeah, several points. Yeah, we're in the story of Dhruva Maharaj. And for his desires to be fulfilled, his guru is recommending to him. Because he said, I can't be renounced. I can't. I'm so offended. I just can't give it up. I need to fulfill this desire. And he recommended Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. That's from another verse, but Tivrena means like a sun ray is very forceful. So he said, perform forceful bhakti, real forceful bhakti, and take shelter of God. And when you take shelter of God, you can't lose. And I described before, one of three things will happen. God can fulfill your desire. He can purify you so that you're free from that desire. Because after all, happiness is contentment. Wherever your position is, if you say, I have enough, you're happy. And you may get all the things in the world, but if it increases your desires, you're not happy. So, I'm so easy to losing my train of thought because there's such an overload of sensory stimuli before my eyes. Jump up. Do you remember where I was going? What was I saying?
You were saying John Maharaj?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. And his desires, or the third option is your desire will be fulfilled, but in a way in which you can give it up. Because after all, what is the purpose of getting things but to be happy? And what's the use of getting things if you're not happy? And if you take shelter of God, he will make you happy. And if the process, he needs to take everything away to make you happy, he will. If he needs to give you everything, he will. Or if he needs to give you something so you can be satisfied and be free of the desire for it. Just like someone may need to get married, so Krishna may arrange someone for the person. But the whole purpose of it is that so they don't have that desire. And they can actually enter into the soul. So he's recommending him to just take shelter of God. And that famous verse, I think it's in the second canto, Akama Sarva Kamo Va Moksha Kama Udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purshampra. Akama, you have no desire. Bhakti. Bhakti has no desire. No personal desire. Akama, Sarva Kama. Karma. You have all desires. Moksha karma. Gyan. You desire liberation. Whatever it is, the best thing is the path of grace. Because we can never attain anything fully, whether it's karma or gyan, without bhakti. Therefore, bhakti is the only process that is independent. Every other process is dependent on bhakti. Every other process will have some form of worship. So he has this desire, and now he's recommending this is how you fulfill that desire. And he gives him a whole process, a meditational process. It begins with the place, and within the place, the seat. So the place, a holy place, a temple, a place in your house, and within that place, a seat. Because meditation means exclusiveness. So you got to be put in a situation where you're free from distraction. And the environment is conducive. And the environment is conducive. Not only it doesn't distract, but it's conducive. And what is conducive? Conducive means an environment in the mode of goodness. Because we can meditate in the mode of goodness, because in the mode of goodness, there's clarity of thought. And clarity of thought inspires renunciation. When you ever see things clearly, you'll become more renounced. And when you see things clearly, you'll be peaceful, so you won't need things. When you see things clearly, you'll come closer to the soul. So the mode of goodness will always help renunciation. So the environment that satisfies you internally and elevates your mind to a platform of clarity will be an environment that will facilitate your meditation. Otherwise, if the environment is passion and ignorance, it'll inspire vikshep, which is distraction, and loya, which is sleep. And these are the two enemies of meditation. Lethargy and distraction. Overactivity and underactivity are the two distractions to meditation. So he gets the environment, and then the bathing. Because bathing puts the body and balances the doshas and puts the body in a more alert phrase. So he's training him in this way. And then meditation, he said the form of the Lord. You have to meditate on the form of the Lord. And now here, do japa. And the sound vibration is the most powerful object of meditation, because the object of sound is the most intrusive and in a good way and absorbing. So sound. And sound is it can be a manifestation of God. We're teaching the yoga sutras, these terms, vachya, vachika, object expression. In terms of the absolute truth, there's no difference between the object and the expression of the object, or the object in his name. So we're chanting the name, and therefore the power of that is it's the natural relationship we have, and the relationship is sambandha. So sambandha means sambandha or relationship is the most powerful connection between two objects, a relationship. What absorbs us most is relationship, and this relationship is very, very natural. I always tell the story recently when I was at the gardens of Vrindavan, where I would take you, and my friend, this beautiful sadhu, married person, and beautiful sadhu, he was hosting us, and he ran away, and I couldn't understand where he went. His grandson came, we saw, and there was a newborn calf. And I never saw that, just when the calf was born. And it stood up, and when it stood up, the cow started to lick it, like very intensively, the cow started to lick it, but with such affection. Why? Because there's a natural energy between two people in relationship. An attraction. Prema. Prema means various means to please. You, as soon as you have prema, you're just thinking, how I can please. So with that name, as our clarity is there, as we offer our consciousness to it, then the energy will awaken. And we'll feel that connection. And in sambandha, in relationship, there's not only an absorption, there is a reciprocation. You said so many great things. You're not going to do anything today. There's not only an absorption, but there is a reciprocation.
In prema or in relationship?
What?
In prema? In relationship.
In relationship, now, and, you know, here in this particular verse, too, it says when you chant these mantras, you'll see things. And Prabhupada relates it to the the Hare Krishna mantra. And you know, I made a note that chanting means just to hear. You don't have to artificially meditate on anything. It means just to hear. Although anything that helps you to hear, whether it's looking at the name visually or looking at the deities or kind of thinking of Krishna in a way, whatever, you know, the thing is what actually is effective to help you in an absorption. But here it is. It says so clearly, without extra endeavor, the Lord will appear, because the Lord is there. And persons have an ability to cover or reveal themselves. A person is not the form. It's the personality is the person. And the love expressed in that relationship is the person. A person's a mother, but if you don't have a relationship, will you see the mother? Person's a lover. If you don't have a relationship, will you see the lover? Person's a child. If you don't have a relationship, will you see the child? Will you see? It's our real being manifests in relationship, and that depends on love. So the holy name is Krishna. Just we don't see him very clearly unless we have love. And then when we have love, he begins to manifest. And first he'll manifest his form. And then he'll manifest his qualities. And then he will manifest his activities, his lila or his pastimes. And he will manifest your form because you are a person in the pastimes. He'll also manifest that. And that stage is the perfect level of trance. When the name actually reveals its activities and your relationship within the name, then there is, that's samadhi. And samadhi is the stage of meditation where there is nothing outside your meditation, not even the cognizance that there is something outside. You become oblivious. And this is the perfect chance. And just studying the Yoga Sutras, it's clearly that this meditation on God is recommended. It's actually obligatory in Kriya Yoga, the yoga of action, where you're not actually able yet to. It's recommended in the stage of meditation. Okay, I'm back again. This is Dhanadhar Swami. I'm praying that you're hearing me. If you're not hearing me, then send me an email. But, you know, we're cleaning up here, and someone took out the plug for the internet, so...
Yeah. We hear you, Maharaj, we hear you.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay. It's great. I finally got into a bob. And then, like, it kind of, I forgot where I was, but, Champak, where was I?
In yoga, it's necessary to meditate on God?
Yeah.
Kriya yoga, and then...
Yeah, I was saying how it's necessary to meditate on God. It's necessary to meditate on God. And, because Ashtanga Yoga, it's progressive. So you have to do Yama Niyam before you can get the meditation. And for sure, the preferred object of meditation, for sure, is mantra. We never hear of a yogi meditating on a candle. Okay, it's a little exciting because where I'm facing, the way this actually works is I guess we call it a hacienda, but we have a beautiful, I mean, it's just beautiful, and there's a beautiful porch with stone and kind of wood beams and vines growing over, and then there's a little lotus pond, lily pond in front of me, and then there's a big front lawn, and then we have a front with you know, those thick bushes, and now the gates are open, and I'm watching all the people come in, but I can see that they may start testing the sound now, and it will be very difficult. But let me read another verse. Text 54. Jai, you got to be determined to give class. It's always obstacles. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mantre Nanena Devasya Kuya Dragya Mayim Buddha Sarpayam Vividai Jaya. Oh, hey, bro. Desha Kala Vibhagati. Translation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is the 12-syllable mantra for worshiping Lord Krishna. One should install the physical forms of the Lord, and with the chanting of the mantra, one should offer flowers and fruits and other varieties of foodstuffs exactly according to the rules and regulations prescribed by the authorities. But this should be done in consideration of place, time, and attendant conveniences and inconveniences. Purport, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya is known as the Shakshara Mantra. This mantra is chanted by Vaishnav devotees, and it begins with pranava or omkara. Pranava means pranava prakriti va this na not. It means not of matter. It's not exactly impersonal, but it's the impersonal feature of God, because not of matter. It's describing it, and it's a very, very powerful vibration, even by the syllables where it moves and like that. Or it also means, pra means also perfectly, the mantra which perfectly reveals God. But Dhruva Maharaj was born a Kshatriya. He at once admitted before Narada Muni that as a Kshatriya, he was unable to accept Narada's instructions on renunciation and mental equilibrium, which are the concerns of a Brahmin. Still, although not a Brahmin but a Kshatriya, Dhruva was allowed on the authority of Narada to pronounce the pranava mantra. This is very significant. So it wasn't restricted to just Brahmins. He was a Kshatriya, but bhakti is dedication, so he had so much determination. So his passion gave him so much determination that he was able to perform such austerities that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear this story from Gadadhar Pandit of the Bhagavatam. He would hear Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad. And it said he listened to Dhruva Maharaj because to learn about the determination. Determination. We have to be determined. And determination is based on faith. Faith in the goal. When something is worth it, you work for it. And we all can say we have that faith, but no, it's realization. It's experiencing. Because a drop of the happiness in God, the opulence in God, the power of God, a drop is infinitely greater than anything else. Yet we're seeking something else but that drop of God. We're working. People are working in the world for money. They're working for sex life. They're working for power. Political candidates perform austerities because they have faith there. But real faith is in God, because it's actually the thing that's highest. It's actually the thing that's highest. Now, Prabhupada in the... And then he talked, the mantra was confidential, but yet given publicly, and Prabhupada reconciles that. Two apparently contradictory conceptions that we know are both true. So if we trust Guru, we trust Shastra, we accept their authority. But what happens when there are two things that appear to contradict themselves? Then we try to reconcile them. And reconciliation of that means that you get a deeper understanding, because things on a deeper level are not things that are in Shastra that apparently contradict themselves are non-contradictory on a deeper level. That's why just like this paradox. Apparently, you know, things that are contradictory. Water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. That's a common paradox. How can there not be a drop to drink and water, water everywhere? Well, the deeper understanding is that water can sometimes be mixed with salt, as in the ocean. So on the deeper understanding, there's reconciliation. You know, there's all these different Vaishnava philosophies, Achintya-bheda, bheda, tattva, tattva, the Shishta Advaita. You know, there's all the different Vaishnava, and then Vallabha and Chaitanya. I was speaking to one Vallabha scholar. He was saying, on the higher level, there's no contradiction. There's not that sectarianism. When there's a deeper understanding. So, reconciliation. So he's trying to make a reconciliation about confidentiality of mantra, and it should be given publicly. And the confidentiality of it is mantra is there, but it's only revealed in love, and therefore it has to be chanted in the proper way. And to chant in the proper way, you have to surrender to Guru and Krishna. If you're not surrendered to Guru and Krishna, then you're in a material consciousness. And if you're in material consciousness, then there's a dichotomy between your body and transcendence. That's why in deity worship, there's something called Bhuta Shuddhi. And Bhuta Shuddhi means Bhuta Shuddhi, to purify the material elements. And how do you do that? Well, you chant the mantra and meditate on it. Naham Vipra Chanada Patir Vaishnava. I'm not a Brahmin. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not that. What am I? Gopi Bhartapada Kamala Dasa Dasa. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And I read in one commentary, you can just do Guru Puja and then you're purified. If you do it in that right conception, then you have spiritual identity. And with spiritual identity, you can have communion with God and not otherwise. So the mantra is confidential, yes. Because the mantra is God and God's a person. And people don't reveal themselves outside of relationship. So what is that relationship with God? It's relationship with His will. a surrender to his will, which is manifest in the Shastra, which is represented by the teacher. That's what teacher is, one who represents Shastra. Who knows the Shastra, realizes the Shastra, and therefore can tell you not what he or she wants to do, but what God wants to do. And therefore there is that surrender. I'm just watching now. In the morning, there were torrential downpours, and the whole festival is outside, although we have three nice areas that are covered, but still, people don't, you know, the festival is to be in the gardens and go walk around, and I'll use a little Yiddish here, tanash. You know what that means? No? We have a lot of nasharai. Nash, to, you know, eat food and go and buy. You know, it's just not, and I'm sitting there under a tree, questions and answers, Jai Jagannath and Madhura Puri, Kirtan. So it's a very, very special and wonderful thing. But I'll get back to, now they're bringing in stuff for the children's section. It's quite an impressive festival, and people will start coming, and hopefully we will break even. The prescribed rules as stated here by Narada are that one should accept the mantra through a bona fide spiritual master and hear the mantra in the right ear. Not only should one chant or murmur the mantra, but in front of me should have the deity or physical form of the Lord. Of course, when the Lord appears, it is no longer a physical form. For example, an iron rod is made red hot in fire, it is no longer iron, it is fire. Similarly, when we make a form of the Lord, whether of wood or stone or metals or jewels or paint or even a form within the mind, it is a bona fide spiritual transcendental form of the Lord. So I discussed this with mantra. Why is mantra non-different from God? For the same reason the deity is non-different from God. God sets the rules. The same reason why iron is not different than fire when in fire. God sets the rules. So he's made certain objects that become other objects in contact with them. Iron is an object that becomes fire in contact with them. Water puts out the fire. Earth has no, doesn't become fire at all. Iron becomes fire. So there's certain syllables, when combined together and chanted, become God. And when chanted with devotion, then God will manifest himself in those, that mantra. God will manifest himself in that mantra in certain forms. And that's what Prabhupada is talking about here. In English, we say what? The iron becomes fireized. The syllables become Krishnaized. The deity becomes Krishnaized. And that's the whole idea with reaching a spiritual perfection, that our eternal nature is to serve. And when that becomes very pronounced, that we want to serve, then at a particular level of intensity is a descent of God's Samvit Ladini Shakti, his Sarup Shakti, his internal potency. And what happens is, it enters your consciousness, and your mind, like iron becomes like iron eyes. Becomes fire eyes. Becomes God eyes. Like your mind is like iron. The Lord Shiva Shakti is like fire. So your mind becomes that. Your mind becomes that, and that's called Bhava. That's how we ultimately get love of Godhead. Our nature, we have a nature to serve. Welcome. But it's nice to see you. Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you. Champak is sitting here listening to the class. And I think also relishing the nature of the people. When they're among the people that are, there are people that are still cultured. And what does culture mean? I explained many things. It's two things. It's your environment that affects your consciousness. One second. Okay. Okay, let me just continue here. So that's the concept or idea that when you have love, and love begins with commitment. Initiation is not a formality, it's the commitment. So when you have commitment to God, then love develops. And when love develops, then the name manifests. That's why it's confidential. Because there is a process how the name manifests. Not only one must receive the mantra from the bona fide spiritual master like Narada or is represented in the cyclic succession, but one must chant the mantra. And not only one must chant, but one must offer whatever foodstuff is available in his part of the world according to time and circumstance. The method of worship, chanting the mantra and preparing the forms of the Lord is not stereotype, nor is exactly the same everywhere. It is specifically mentioned in this verse, one should take consideration of time, place, and available conveniences. Now, this is so important that I will actually speak on this again. I will speak on this again next week, because it's really getting insane here, but I'll read this. Our Krishna conscious movement is going on throughout the world, and we also install deities in different centers. Sometimes our Indian friends puffed up with concocted notions criticize. This has not been done. This has not been done. But they forget this instruction of Narada to one of the greatest Vaishnav Dhruva Maharaj. One has to consider the particular time, country, and circumstances. What is convenient in India may not be convenient in the Western countries. Those who are not actually in the line of acharyas, who have personally no knowledge of how to act in the role of acharyas, unnecessarily criticize the activities of the ISKCON movement in countries outside of India. The fact is that such critics cannot do anything personally to spread Krishna consciousness. If someone does go and preach, taking all risk and allowing all considerations for time and place, It might be that there are changes in the manner of worship, but that is not at all faulty according to the Shastra. Srimad-Viraghavacharya and Acharya in the cyclic session of Ramanujacharya has remarked in his commentary that Chandalas, or conditioned souls who are born in lower than Sudras, can also be initiated according to time, place, and circumstance. The formalities may be slightly changed here and there to make them Vaishnavas. It's so clear what Prabhupada's saying. Lord Chaitanya recommends his name should be heard in every nook and corner of the world. How is this possible unless one preaches everywhere? The cult of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhagavad Dharma. And he especially recommends Krishna Katha, the cult of Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. He recommends that every Indian, considering this task to be para upakara, or welfare, take this message to other residents of the world. Other residents of the world does not refer only to those who are exactly like Indian Brahmins or Kshatriyas, or like caste Brahmins who claim to be Brahmins because they were born in families of Brahmins. The principle that every Indian and Hindu should be brought into the Vaishnav, only Indians and Hindus should be brought into the Vaishnav cult, is a mistaken idea. There should be propaganda to bring everyone in the Vaishnav cult. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is meant for this purpose. There is no bar to propagating the Krishna Consciousness Movement even among people who are born in Chandala, Malecha, or Yavana families. Even in India, this point has been enunciated by Sanatan Goswami in his book, Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is Smriti, and is the authorized Vedic guide for Vaishnavas in their daily behavior. Sanatan Goswami says that his bell metal can turn to gold when mixed with mercury in a chemical process, so by the bona fide diksha or initiation method, anyone can become a Vaishnav. One should take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, coming into disciplic succession is authorized by his predecessor's spiritual master. This is called Diksha Vidhan. Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Vyapasritya, one should accept a spiritual master. By this process, the entire world can be converted to Krishna consciousness. Would anyone like to say hello? Yeah. Hare Krishna, nice to see you.
Hare Krishna, Mukunda.
Hey, Mukunda, Hare Bhau. Good.
Hare Bhau, Maharaj.
Thanks.
Great.
Anybody else like to say hello? Because there's so many people coming. One more person.
Hare Krishna, Gumaraj.
Oh, Kishore and Priya, you have to come visit. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Yeah, and go to India twice a year. Gail?
I will.
Okay. Sorry, no questions today because of the atmosphere.
I know.
Anyone else?
Take any prayer.
Okay. Keep on going. We have about a minute. Anybody else? Okay, well, that's it. Oh.